Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There can be no mistaking it. The single most important event in the coming of Jesus Christ was his death. It is rightly said of him that his whole purpose in living was to die. The Gospels record what we have come to know as Passion Week. Passion Week is that last week in our Lord's earthly existence. In Matthew, it takes up 8 chapters. In Mark, 6. In Luke 5, in John 9 chapters. Indeed, it may be said that the whole New Testament message may be summarized in the words of Paul when he said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. This morning we interrupt the series which we had been doing in the book of Philippians in order to begin a brief series leading up to Easter on the 7 last words or the 7 last sentences spoken by our Lord from the cross. We want to understand what Jesus himself was thinking as he was suspended between heaven and earth. What better way of understanding his thoughts than to study these last few words which he spoke? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the first word. That is the one that we consider this morning. But let us be aware that as we stand upon Calvary's mountain and face the cross of Jesus Christ in this series, that we ought to be like Moses standing before the burning bush. As God said to him, take thy shoes from off thy feet. For the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. You remember the events of the crucifixion, don't you? You remember how on Thursday night the disciples celebrated the Passover, the institution of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, how they went out into the Garden of Gethsemane, how Jesus took some of the disciples further on in, how he himself prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, how Judas came to betray him with a kiss, how he was taken to the Jewish high priest, then to Pilate, then to Herod, then back to Pilate. And there is Pilate washing his hands of the whole matter, turning Jesus over to the Roman guards, and they beat him and scourge him, and they platted a crown of thorns and crushed it upon his skull. And then he was led away the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, until finally he came to the place of the skull, where there were driven into his hands and feet nails. And as the cross was being lifted and dropped into his socket, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The first word which Jesus spoke from the cross serves as a demonstration of Jesus' personal mastery over sin. He did not give place to revenge, that sweet satisfaction. I know a lady who, for over 20 years, kept a catalog of every offense which her husband had committed against her. She never forgave him. She was sizing up how she might gain revenge. What if it had been you upon the cross of Calvary? What if you had received all of this ill justice done? What if it had been you being raised upon the cross? Would you have prayed, "Forgive them"? I saw on the TV news a sad, heart-rending story about a young girl recently who was raped, left dying. Her dying words were these, and her captor reported them after his arrest. She told him, "Jesus loves you." The first word from the cross serves as a fitting conclusion to our Lord's earthly life. You see, even in his death, he does not think of himself. As he is led along the way of suffering, bearing his own cross, and he sees the women weeping, he says to them, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves." He prays for his persecutors. How like our Lord! How like this supernatural being! How like this perfect Lamb of God to pray for those who did him ill. The first word serves as an appropriate symbol of his heavenly life. The Bible says, "He ever liveth to make intercession for the transgressors. The Bible says he came to seek and to save those who are lost. He prays even now. As he prayed upon the cross of Calvary, he prays even now, "Sinner, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." He prays for your greatest need. Your greatest need is not money. Your greatest need is not a new husband or a new wife. Your greatest need is forgiveness. If you knew forgiveness, you would know freedom. You would know peace. You would know joy. That's what Jesus prays for you. His first word serves as an inspiration for Christian martyrs. Do you remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7? As Paul, when he was Saul, in his before Christ days, stood by this man, holding the garments of those who were throwing stones at Stephen. Stephen looked up and he prayed, "Lay not this sin to their account." It inspired the martyrs in the Roman arena who were eaten by lions, who had limbs lopped off, who were pushed over cliffs with their hands and feet bound head first. It inspired the martyrs who were burned at the stake, whose mouths were stuffed with objects so their persecutors could not hear them pray. In Russia, there was a secret baptismal service, Kurtikov reports in his book, The Persecutor. And as this service was going on, the secret police raided them and they bludgeoned the new converts. What an inspiration to martyrs like Bitterman, whose body was discovered Saturday morning, riddled with bullets, All he wanted to do was to translate the Bible into the language of some Indian people in Colombia, that they may come to know Jesus. The first word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To whom does it apply? Does it apply to the Roman soldiers? Does it apply to the Jews? Does it apply to the priest or to Pilate or to the races of people who were gathered around the cross at that time? Acts 3:17 says this. Peter says, "Now, brethren," he is talking to Israelites, "now, brethren, through ignorance you did it, as did your rulers." So that this word applies to Jews. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, "Which none of the princes of the world knew, which had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." This first word applies to Gentiles. But Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." It applies to you and you. You see, you and I are equally as guilty as those Roman soldiers who literally drove the spikes into his feet, who plaited the crown of thorns, who slapped and spat upon him. That was you. It was for you Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive her. Father, forgive him." Was his prayer answered? "Father, forgive them." It was answered in that Jerusalem had another 40 years before the Roman soldiers finally came in and took it over and sacked it. But the most important way that this question may be answered, and the best answer, is this: have you yourself been forgiven of your sin? Have you been forgiven? A woman who was living in adultery came to me one time, not in this town and not even in this state. She had been to a secular counselor who, in fact, was a religious counselor. She had confessed her sin, and he told her it was all right. Whatever you do, whatever you feel like, whatever expresses your own inward being, just be yourself, accept yourself. And she was all upset. And she came and I told her that it was sin, but that Jesus offered to her forgiveness, and she received it. And she received peace. You see, your problem, your guilt is not imaginary guilt, and it's not psychological guilt. You feel badly about your sin because you're guilty. And I am guilty. But Jesus offers that which is the most important thing that you can experience in your life, and that is forgiveness of your sin. Do you know it? Has Jesus' prayer been answered? The first word from the cross is the whole theme of Calvary. The cross is about this one word, forgiveness. Forgiveness of sin. That is what Jesus did upon Calvary. He made possible your forgiveness. Oh, think of it. The joy of it. You can be forgiven. Even the crime of the crucifixion can be forgiven. No matter how bad you are, No matter how awful your sin is, it can be washed in the blood of Christ. All your sins, as Isaiah says in 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The washing away of your sin has been made possible through the sacrifice of Jesus upon Calvary's cross. Don't you like that hymn which that great Reformed Baptist preacher of the 19th century loved? He loved it so much that Charles Spurgeon put upon his tombstone in London these words: "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Friend, other men may talk about Jesus as the great teacher. Others may enter into a dialogical conversation with other religions. Others may talk about the social relevance of the gospel of Christ. But this is the old story, that Jesus died upon the cross for your sin and for your sin and for your sin. Do you believe it? Have you been forgiven? Have you been washed in the blood of Calvary? Have you? Non-Christian, it is available to you at this very moment. It is a very simple step of faith for you. And that is for you to come to Jesus Christ right now by faith and say to Him, "I know I have sinned against You. I confess it to You, and now I receive You as my Savior. Come in. Wash me. Cleanse me by the blood of Christ." Christian, I want to say to you this morning, imitate Jesus Christ. Imitate Him in His prayer when He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As you go about your own daily life, and as you hear and you see and you come in contact with all kinds of shameful behavior, don't just criticize and condemn or talk and gossip, but pray in your heart of heart the prayer of Christ: "Father, forgive them." Imitate the heart of Christ, will you? In that kind of relationship with your husband, with your wife, that is the freedom that you need. I have been reading a book in this past week about anger. I hope, God willing, to preach a series on the high cost of living, anger and depression and fear and anxiety. And I've been studying anger, how you can be liberated from your anger, because all of us have it. All of us are hostile if things don't go to suit us. And yet here is the perfect example of Jesus and the reaction of the Christian. Do we become aggressive and sin? Or do we deal with that in an attitude of forgiveness? "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." Will you pray it, Christian? Will you have an attitude of forgiveness toward your spouse today? You don't have to work up to it. Will you pray, non-Christian, "Forgive me"? Let's pray.